Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
Romans chapter 11. I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Even so then, at this present time there is a remnant according to the election of grace, and if by grace, then it is no longer of works, otherwise grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace, otherwise work is no longer work. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Just as it is written, God has given them a spirit of stupor, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear to this very day. And David says, Let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened, so that they do not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now if their fall is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh, and save some of them. For if their being cast away is the reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. Because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, who are natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the Deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them, when I take away their sins. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience, even so these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen.
Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor?
Lesson 128, God's Gospel Plan. In our last lesson, we learned that the Jewish people had been given much advantage but could not attain to God's righteousness because they did not seek it God's way through faith. They thought they could attain acceptance with God by keeping God's laws. Today we will learn of God's plan to show mercy to the Gentiles as a way to show mercy for Israel, and by this to save as many souls as possible. We must remember that Paul is writing this book to the Roman believers who were Gentiles. It was for the benefit of these Gentile believers to learn about God's dealings with Israel. It is clear that all Christians will be helped by a careful study of God's dealings with these beloved people of God. Though failing to attain God's righteousness and so often falling away from God into sin, God has never forsaken and utterly abandoned his plans and purposes for these people. He has not cast them off. Paul quotes the prophet Elijah to remind his Gentile audience that God will preserve a remnant in Israel even when it appears they have all fallen away into rebellion and disobedience. God preserves a remnant of his people on the principle of grace and not because of works, for those two principles are mutually exclusive. If grace, then it cannot be by works, and if by works, it is not of grace. Though Israel has stumbled through unbelief, that does not mean their complete ruin. God will use the Gentiles to provoke the children of Israel to come to faith and salvation also. If God has used the failure of Israel to bring such great blessing to the Gentiles, then when Israel is blessed by God, this will bring about an even greater blessing and fullness to all who believe. Paul writes about God's plan for Israel, how he would not give up on them, and how he would use other nations to provoke them. He uses this point here in Romans 11 in order to stir up the Jews who may read this letter. He wants them to consider how God is pleading with them to turn to Jesus as their Messiah and place their trust in him. Then Paul writes that if God's turning away from Israel to save Gentiles meant a reconciling of the world, it would mean that their future acceptance would be like being raised from the dead. We have seen a resurrection of sorts with the forming of the nation of Israel in 1948, but we are not yet to see this nation turn again to the Lord and place their trust in Jesus as their Messiah, a spiritual resurrection. Paul describes an olive tree as a picture of God's family tree. The Jews who would not believe were cut off as unfruitful branches, and the Gentiles who believed in God's Messiah were grafted into the tree. Paul reminds his Gentile audience that they are very fortunate that God has grafted them into his purposes and brought them into his salvation, but they must be careful not to follow the sins of Israel's unbelief. If they should also fail, then God would not spare them, just as he did not spare the Jews who rebelled. It was by God's goodness that Gentiles could be grafted in, and God's judgment that took away the unbelieving Jews. Now for Gentiles to think correctly about the Jews, they must remember that if the Jews reject the gospel, they are being disobedient to God. However, we should not despise the Jewish people, recognizing that these are still beloved of God and those to whom he has made many promises. God will eventually fulfill all his promises made to Abraham and his children, for God's gifts and promises are irrevocable. This means God will never go back on his word, but will always give what he has promised to provide. This is a wonderful truth that can bring great comfort to those who believe in the Lord, because we know that while men often fail to keep their promises, God will never break his promise to us. God's plan for the Gentiles and Jews through the ages is a remarkable plan to show mercy to as many as possible. Since the Jews, who were so favored by God, have rejected their Messiah and acted disobediently, God has judged them with a temporary spiritual blindness. Now God is saving many Gentiles from all nations on the earth, and he will use the faith of Gentiles to provoke the Jews to jealousy, so that they too will be drawn to come and place their trust in Jesus also. A Jewish person, if he is honest, will marvel when a Gentile Christian explains how he believes in Abraham and can explain many of the teachings of the Old Testament, which the Jews hold in such high esteem. As the Christian speaks of the hope of the Jews for their Messiah, then tells them about the Jewish Messiah who had fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies, the Jewish person will wonder at how God has used these Gentiles to know and explain the Scriptures and salvation to them. Through this means, many of the Jews will eventually come to faith in their true Messiah, Jesus. As Paul contemplates the amazing plan and mercy of God, he burst into words of praise. Finishing this portion of his letter, he speaks of the surpassing wisdom and knowledge of God, such that his ways are beyond our comprehension. Paul asks rhetorically, "Who has been God's counselor, or known his mind, or has given something to God with expectation of repayment? For of him and through him are all things. To whom be glory forever." Just like the Jews, we are prone to the same problem of being proud of our knowledge. We gain a little knowledge and then think we understand, but truthfully, we are so very ignorant, and therefore need to exhibit humility. If we recognize God's wisdom, we shall come to him in faith and humble dependence, finding the answers we need for life, godliness, and eternal salvation. Why not turn to the Lord today and trust in him for your soul's salvation? For the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Romans chapter 11, verse 29.
For from him and through him and to
now for today's Bible question. In today's lesson, we learned about God's plan to show mercy to the Jews by showing mercy to Gentiles so that all the world may come to faith in Jesus as their Messiah. When Paul is overcome with awe and admiration, he writes beautiful words of praise to God because of God's wisdom and knowledge, which exceeds man's comprehension. Someone might ask the question, does God have a plan for my life? In today's lesson, we have learned about God's plan for the Jewish people. He made promises long ago to bless this nation, and he will certainly fulfill all of his promises to them. We might wonder, though, if God's great plans include our own little lives. We are prone to think that our lives are not that important, and wonder if God would really care about our lives or have a plan for us. Our lesson today helps us to see into the heart of God and understand that he is interested not just in the Jews specifically or the Gentiles specifically. He used the Jews as a testimony to others, and he uses the Gentiles to also show mercy to the children of Israel. He does this in order to show mercy upon all. God does his work in such a way as to gather the attention of as many as are willing to listen. This shows us that God cares about all people. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. But you might still question that while God loves all people in a general sense, does he actually care individually for people? And does he care about me and what I do? The answer is yes, God does care about you, and we can show this from many places in the Scriptures. Jesus, when talking to the crowds in Matthew chapter 6, uses the illustration of nature to show how God feeds the birds and how he clothes the grass with beautiful lilies, to prove that God loves each individual person and will look after their needs. When Jesus said, "Not one sparrow falls to the ground apart from God's will," and that even the hairs of our head are numbered, he was pointing out how precious our life is to God. The Lord wants you to understand that you are very precious to God, and he cares about every detail of your life. And God certainly has a plan for your life. He makes general plans for all of mankind. These general plans include plans for you, but he also makes specific plans for individual people. The general plan of God for your life can be easily understood from reading the Bible. This includes coming to Jesus in faith for the salvation of your soul. It includes obeying the Lord by being baptized and joining with a local church where you can learn and grow in your Christian faith. It also involves being a faithful witness to others of God's love and salvation. It includes all the instructions of how to live a godly life. These are general plans that God has for each and every one of his children. They are good plans, for God is good, and all his plans are the best possible plan for our lives. God does have special plans for each of our lives. It is not as easy to figure out these individual plans because God does not take time in his word to address every person on an individual basis. So how can we know what God's plan is for our lives? Using Scripture as our guide, we can certainly apply ourselves to do those things that God expects from all of his children. Often when we are busy doing all that God calls us to do in Scripture, his plans for our lives become evident, and we move easily into our life's calling. The secret to discovering God's will for your life is to become entirely dedicated to the Lord. We shall learn more about this in our next lesson from Romans chapter 12. We will think about why it is reasonable to sacrifice our lives to God, loving and serving him all our days. For in doing so, we will prove his will and plan for our lives. Many people struggle with finding out what God's will is for their lives, but if they are too busy trying to run their own life, running after their own goals, they will always feel like they are missing out on their life's calling and purpose. It is quite possible to be a Christian and to be on your way to heaven, but fail to fulfill the purpose God has for you. There are scriptural examples of people who God called to himself, but failed to fulfill what God called them to do. One example Of this is a man in 2 Timothy called Demas. He was a Christian serving the Lord, but abandoned God's work because of his attraction to the world. Many like Demas are still living their lives for self and not for God. Yes, God does call us to some specific plan and purpose. We will discover his plan as we dedicate ourselves to the Lord, seeking to do all that he has directed in his word. I wish I could convince you to dedicate your life entirely to the Lord, but only the Holy Spirit can convict and convince you of this reasonable service. I can assure you, though, that if you dedicate yourself to the Lord entirely, you will learn His perfect will for your life, and you will also find the greatest joy and purpose by obeying His plan rather than your own plan. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948. Or, if you have access to the Internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. Jesus sent me with a stranger, wandering from the full of God. To rescue me from danger, interpose His precious blood. Unto grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let Thy goodness, like a feather, bind my wandering heart to Thee. Won't You If you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death," and this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says, That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this, Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life. If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation, or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believers Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.